The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator...
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Wednesday, November 16th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us. We got another great show here for you in the middle of the week. And once again, flying solo this week, Cannabis Carry is on vacation, so I'll be handling all of the news duties and everything else that we do here at Normal Show Live's Rolla J Studios. But we're real glad to have you with us. Quick reminder that next week and the week after, we will be off on our vacation for the Thanksgiving break and to attend the Normal Key West Legal Seminar, which I'm so excited to say I get to take my wife to the Key West Legal Seminar this year. So it's my first time, too. I've never been. But we are kind of celebrating our 10 years of being married, so it's kind of a second honeymoon for us as well. So we'll be gone for a couple weeks, but back on December 5th with new shows. So make sure you tune in. The Normal Network shows will still be airing on the automated system during those 2 weeks, though. So if you are missing our show, check into some of the others that are on the network. You can learn a whole bunch. We do intend to be the voice of the marijuana nation, and we mean nation. We've got podcasts from all over the country. We'll have some lineup changes coming in December as well. Some new podcasts to throw into the mix. So check it out. The information's available at stash.normal.org. Now, in today's hemp headlines, we got some interesting news coming to you. First of all, from the political scene, Herman Cain, the former CEO of Godfather's Pizza and current presidential candidate in the GOP field, has announced his support for states' rights for medical marijuana. That's kind of surprising. Yeah, good news to hear there. And seeing as today is our Cannabis Science Wednesday, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Mitch Earlywine at half past, and we're going to be addressing a couple of studies. One of these is a study that shows heavy alcohol consumption increases one's risk of lung cancer. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Plus, a study we reported on yesterday about from the UK that showed that kids with higher IQs had more drug use later on in life. And we'll take some time to theorize about that and what that might mean. Plus, we answer your questions live at half past the hour. If you want to call in to Dr. Mitch Earlywine, the phone number is 971-533-7111. So you can call in, get your questions in live, or you can get them to our chat room through ustream.tv. Join our chat room and talk with the rest of the stashers and minions out there. Also, we'll be talking about the latest teen drug crazes and an update on the Rhode Island lawmaker busted with weed and cocaine. We've got NorCal Perps calling in for our Irie Wednesday, some music from The Expendables, A Bowl for Two. And at the end of the show, time for a radical rant. We're going to talk about political choices, mature decisions, and how tough it is sometimes when you're supporting marijuana reform. We're back right after this.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that gives us these precious rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search or seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
You're listening to the Normal Network, where the time is 420, 24/7, 365.
Weedmaps.com. I'm Radical Russ from Normal. In my job as outreach coordinator, I travel every month, and when I'm on the road, I need a fast, accurate way to find the medical marijuana dispensaries in the area. So I turn to Weedmaps.com. Weedmaps.com has the best dispensary locator online or on your mobile device. Search by zip code or let Weedmaps find you, and in seconds you'll have the addresses, phone numbers, and customer service reviews for the medical marijuana dispensaries in the local area. Weedmaps.com also has a section devoted to helping you find a doctor who understands and recommends medical marijuana under your state's law. You can even check prices on the Medical Marijuana Stock Exchange. Coming soon, you'll even be able to find the listings of Normal attorneys and chapters, local head shops and grow shops, and the best weed-friendly businesses. Weedmaps.com has the information you need to be an informed cannabis consumer. Visit Weedmaps.com today, a proud sponsor of the Normal Network. Inhaling deeply of the sacred smoke.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
Cannabis Carry has the week off. I'm Russ Belville with your Normal News. Herman Cain joins Ron Paul and Governor Gary Johnson as Republican presidential candidates that support states' rights to medical marijuana. So that means we now have three Republicans running for president with a better stance on state medical marijuana laws than President Obama. MSNBC.com reports, quote, if states want to legalize medical marijuana, I think that's a state's right, Cain said while campaigning in Iowa, because one of my overriding approaches to looking at all of these issues, most of them belong at the state, because when you do something federally, you try to force one size fits all. That sentiment wouldn't necessarily make Cain the only Republican candidate who's sympathetic to marijuana rights. Texas Republican Representative Ron Paul supports the availability of medical marijuana, and former Republican New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson supports the drug's overall legalization. When it comes to medical pot, an April 2010 poll by Pew Research Center found that 61% of Republicans favored legalization for medical purposes, while 37% of Republicans opposed that. Self-described conservatives even split in favor of legalizing medical marijuana, 54 to 44%. Well, this is something I've been commenting on for a long time, a low-hanging bit of political fruit that the Democrats would be wise to snatch up before the Republicans realize that it fits their natural worldview. States' rights, limited government, individual responsibility, don't let the government get between me and a doctor with my health care. These are things I hear from Republicans all the time. The weight of this issue is just becoming too much for Republicans to ignore. They're so desperate to unseat President Obama, and they know he's weak on this issue, especially among his base. Medical marijuana enjoys more than 75% support nationwide and majority support in any demographic group you care to choose. Republicans, conservatives, 65 and older, religious conservatives, anything you want to name, any minority group you want to name, any age bracket you want to name, there is majority support for medical marijuana. And support for outright legalization is up to 50% nationwide, and it's rising over the past three polls in every demographic group. Even Republicans, even Southerners, even people over 65, the only group for whom legalization, outright legalization, is not rising in the past three polls, self-described liberals. Of course, Obama said a lot of these states' rights type rhetoric back on the campaign trail in 2007 and 2008 as well. We see how that turned out. Hey, Lance Armstrong. Heavy beer drinking, not pot smoking, leads to more lung cancer. Here's something to think about the next time you see a prominent cancer survivor touting the nutritional benefits of beer. It's a new study that quotes researchers who, if you wish to have a healthy lung with which to live, strongly suggest you curb your alcohol, especially beer use. See what I did there? Live strongly. Yeah. A new study links heavy alcohol consumption with a greater risk of developing lung cancer. The study included approximately 126,000 people who enrolled between 1978 and 1985 and were followed until 2008. The researchers found 1,852 people developed lung cancer during that time. Having three or more alcoholic drinks a day increased lung cancer risk by 30%. Heavy beer consumption carried a slightly higher risk than wine and liquor, Medical News Today reports. Quote, heavy drinking has multiple harmful effects, including cardiovascular complications and increased risk for lung cancer, lead researcher Stanton Swee, MD of Kaiser Permanente, said in a news release. We did not see a relationship between moderate drinking and lung cancer development, end quote. Now, why would I pick on Lance Armstrong? You know, aside from him shilling for Michelob Ultra beer, being a cancer survivor himself. I mean, certainly there's got to be other celebrity cancer survivors who've shilled for beer companies, right? Actually, I couldn't find any. I looked really hard. But if you find one, let me know. Put them in the comments or something. And it's not just that I'm jealous that Lance Armstrong was more successful, at least so far, in passing drug tests in his former career than I was in mine. It's that his LiveStrong website continues to lie about cancer risks from cannabis use. Here's quotes from the LiveStrong website, the Lance Armstrong Foundation, on some of their articles about cannabis use. Quote, the same risks smokers of tobacco face may also threaten marijuana users over a long period of time. Quote, frequent and or long-term users of marijuana had an increased risk of testicular cancer. Irony alert. Quote, smokers of any illicit toxic chemicals, like cocaine or marijuana, can cause negative effects on the lungs and increase the risks of getting diseases like emphysema and cancer. And, quote, the smoke contains some of the same destructive carcinogenic ingredients that tobacco smoke does, but in greater quantity. When in fact, the biggest case control study on the subject of marijuana use and pulmonary disease concluded after 30 years and found, quote, smoking marijuana, even regularly and heavily, does not lead to lung cancer. And let me quote from the Washington Post, 2006. The new findings, quote, were against our expectations, end quote, said Donald Tashkin, the University of California at Los Angeles pulmonologist who has studied marijuana for 30 years. Quote, we hypothesized that there would be a positive association between marijuana use and lung cancer, and that the association would be more positive with heavier use, he said. What we found instead was no association at all, and even a suggestion of some protective effect, end quote. Now, LiveStrong and Lance Armstrong, for Lance Armstrong, a cancer survivor, to be promoting alcohol use when alcohol use is shown to increase not only your chances for lung cancer, but just about every other cancer out there, and meanwhile demonize cannabis with lies about its chances of causing your cancer, is just reprehensible. But I do have to give LiveStrong credit for one quote from one of their marijuana pages. Quote, pot is illegal. As long as it remains illegal, you could be arrested for smoking pot. The stress of being arrested and charged with a crime would not be good for your health, end quote. Yeah, but would it be as bad as a Michelob Ultra? Butt chugging, vodka tampons, drinking bleach, and other parent-frightening urban legends. Yes, I've been waiting my entire journalistic career to be able to say butt-chugging. Back in my day, when ties were skinny and pants were parachute, the rumor going around was that my peers were using hypodermic needles to inject oranges with vodka so they could conceal alcohol on campus and get drunk without detection. Now, The funny thing was, is even as much of a drinker as I was back in the day, I could never actually find anyone who was doing it. Lord knows I was willing to try. But the more I thought about it, the stupider it seemed. Oranges aren't any easier to conceal than an airport mini bottle of vodka. The orange and your breath still reeks of alcohol. And finding a hypodermic needle in Nampa, Idaho wasn't an easy task. And peeling oranges is kind of a pain in the ass, especially compared to unscrewing the little mini. So wouldn't it be easier just to keep a flask in your locker and take a shot between classes? Oh, by the way, young people, we used to have lockers. We didn't have to carry 40 pounds of books on our back all day. Anyway, now I don't know what combination of sunspots, tidal forces, and groundhogs seeing their shadows causes these latest teen drug scare crazes to crop up year after year. I mean, just 4 years ago, it was the Jankum craze. You remember this one where teens were allegedly huffing bags of fermented shit? Really, that was supposedly the latest drug craze for kids. And last year, it was eye-dosing, right? Downloading these songs with blinking lights and different beats that would get you high. So now it seems that the latest teen drug scare craze kind of goes in the other direction, if you will. This is reported from KPHO. School resource officer Chris Thomas spends his days patrolling the halls of a Valley high school. He's heard firsthand how kids are getting tipsy. Quote, "What we're hearing about is teenagers utilizing tampons." That's right, tampons. "Soaking them in vodka first before you're using them." "It's definitely not just the girls," Thomas said. "Guys will also use it. They'll insert it into their rectums." Rather than the traditional beer bong that you would find at the college party, kids are sticking the tube elsewhere to get wasted. They're calling it butt-chugging. Yes, butt-chugging. Right. Yeah, right, right. Young teenage males, typically the most homophobic and self-conscious creatures on the planet, are dropping trow in front of their peers and inserting plastic tubes up their ass to chug beer. Right. And the vodka tampons? Huffington Post reports that, quote, "The practice remains unverified despite multiple reports of incidents in the U.S. and elsewhere," and, quote, "A blogger conducted her own informal trial to see whether the purported method worked." And it goes on to that she notes that, number one, the alcohol kind of dissolves the glue and everything that holds the tampon together, so much so that you couldn't insert it. And then even if you did insert it, the burn that you would feel on your sensitive lady parts wouldn't make it a very enjoyable drunk. Plus, this idea that the teens would somehow avoid detection with no alcohol on their breath is also false, because alcohol metabolizes in your breath no matter how you ingest it. Now, let me go on. This is from Fox TV 10. Goes on to say, quote, "As far as kids go, if they fail a drug test, they get kicked off the team. A probationer over at the probation office, they go back to jail. An employee, if they fail a drug test, they may lose their job," said Sergeant Joe Mahoney of the Mobile County Sheriff's Office. "Not everyone scours the web looking for a drug test solution," Mahoney said. "Some people look no further than under their kitchen sink." Quote, we've had cases where they have ingested straight bleach and it has caused significant damage to their body," Mahoney said. "There is more emphasis on drug testing in school, especially with sporting events and things like that. But there should be education to these juveniles. You need to say, yes, we're going to drug test, and don't try to mask it, because if you do, well, you're going to harm your body and this is what could happen," said Mahoney. Only in this looking glass world of prohibition could we motivate kids to ingest something toxic in order to get away with ingesting something non-toxic. Rather than give the kids the truth about cannabis, we need to better educate them on the truth about chlorine bleach. Yeah, it's not the drug testing for any of the extracurricular activities that leads them to drinking bleach. That's not the problem. It's that they're not well enough educated on the proper ways to beat a drug test. Okay. Now, Soren Bowie, writing in Cracked, I think he has the best take on these latest teen drugs craze stories. In a letter he writes to parents about the fake teen crazies. "You're part of that constituency that wants these completely ludicrous stories about teenagers to be real. There's probably a similar story in your time about teens getting high by rubbing fermented breast milk in their eyes or something, and you're ready to believe it. You want to believe it because there's a part of you that is hunting for a motive to be afraid of teens, even your teens, and that part of you is not interested in reason or logic. I just want you to understand why that is, so that you can overcome it. Naturally, facts and explanations won't do much to sway you, but I'm hoping that by writing this down now, you will remember it all in the future and realize why your hostility toward teens is making you an idiot and a bad person. That's Soren Bowie writing in crack.com. Oh, maybe after this 2-week vacation, this terrible cough of mine will go away. Still getting over a bit of the cold, so apologize for the gravelly voice. When we come back, it's time for Irie Wednesday.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Alternative Medical Choices offers healthcare the way it should be. Easy to access, patient-centered, team-based, and quality-focused. We offer a variety of natural, affordable healthcare treatment options like primary care, group acupuncture, massage, and assistance with OMMP registration. As a patient, you will have a team of experts working with you to make you the best you can be. Call Alternative Medical Choices at 503-288-5579 or check us out on the web at altmedchoices.com.
Hello, Mr. Man. Hi. I'm working. I'm sorry. No food till this is done.
Okay, class. Repeat after me. Am I free to go, officer?
Am I free to go, officer?
I don't consent to any searches, officer.
I don't consent to any searches, officer.
I wish to speak to my attorney before answering any questions, officer.
I wish to speak to my attorney before answering any questions, officer.
These three phrases may help your attorney keep your ass out of a jail cell someday. So memorize them and use them.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Norman. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at norml.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we get tunes for Irie Wednesday, our celebration of that mellow vibe we find in the best of reggae, ska, calypso, and Latin music. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tune.
All right, we're connected up with Kyle, a.k.a. NorCal Perps, right there in the Bay Area. What's happening?
Not much. How you doing today, Russ?
Oh, having a good time. Got a couple friends here in the studio. We're just hanging out, having a couple of hits, and waiting for the good music. What's things like down there in the Bay Area?
It's actually a unseasonably sunny day. You know, really nice outside. It's been a little chill at night, but right now it's really bright, at least where I am. I don't know, up in San Francisco.
Hey, did you get out to any of those other Occupies that were going on? I know you were talking about that last time we talked.
I did not, and it looks like they're starting to shut them all down. I'm going to try and get up to San Francisco to visit some friends this weekend, and hopefully we'll be able to stop by the encampment and see a few people out there.
Right on. Good to hear it. All right. And, of course, our friend Roll J is still down there, too. We're following up on his trials and everything that's going on. Do you have any new info for us?
Last thing I heard, it was just still going back and forth, waiting for the litigation to all start, or I'm not sure if they're going to actually take it to trial or if Jay's going to settle and take a deal, but it doesn't. He's out on, or there's no bail. They're not going to remand him and take him in anytime soon.
Right. So he's out and enjoying life at the moment.
Yeah, he's living at the house that he still has for the time being. Unfortunately, he's going to have to let the house go and move back in with some family, but. Mm-hmm. You know, we all fall on these hard times.
Well, yeah, sometimes we fall on them, but then other times they're inflicted on us, and that's what's happening here. You know, nobody should have to lose their house and move in with mom and dad or family or anybody just because you were growing plants. It's a shame.
Yeah, you know, with the...
Well, let's get Irie then. Let's just bring our spirits up a little bit here with some Irie music. I know you got some a great band here for us today.
Well, friends of the show... Friends of also Slightly Stupid, Miles of Slightly Stupid signed them as one of the first groups to his label Stupid Records. And I was figuring with the holiday season, we would go ahead and play something a little festive that reminds us that this is a time about sharing and giving. So Bowl for Two, I thought, would be an appropriate song.
That sounds good to me. Bowl for Two, this is The Expendables on your Irie Wednesday for your Daily Toker Tunes. Kyle, thanks so much for the call, and we'll talk to you in 3 weeks.
Thanks, Russ. Have a good one.
Thank you.
You want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
We're joined also by Barry McCaffrey, General Barry McCaffrey, I should say, retired general, military analyst at NBC, and most importantly for this conversation, national drug former national drug policy director, very familiar with this conversation.
Normal Show Live, where the truth about marijuana gets more than a minute to speak.
General, I'm going to begin with you.
Everybody's got a habit, some good, some bad, to reach the comfort zone. Some of people have all kinds of people around, some people can't hang alone. Whatever it is, whatever you like, you're gonna make it through your afternoon.
What makes something funny? How does humor impact health and psychological well-being? How can you incorporate humor into everyday life? A concise, reader-friendly introduction to an important but often underappreciated topic in modern psychology, Humor 101 explains the role of comedy, jokes, and wit in the sciences and discusses why they are so important to understand. Psychology professor Dr. Mitch Earlywine draws from his personal experiences in stand-up comedy to focus on how humor can regulate emotion, reduce anxiety, and diffuse tense situations, expose pretensions, build personal relationships, and much more. He irreverently debunks the pseudoscience on the topic of humor and leaves readers not only funnier, but better informed. It's part of the Psych 101 series from Springer Publishing, Humor 101 by Dr. Mitch Earlywine, PhD.
Hey, bud, let's party.
As High Times Senior Cultivation Editor, I'm often called into the field and asked to sample or even identify exotic strains of marijuana in their natural habitat. Now, for the first time, I've compiled more than 120 of my favorite strains into this single field guide designed to fit into your pocket as you travel the world in search of your favorite plant. From a friend's closet grow room to the wilds of Northern California, this single guide covers all of today's best-known strains, plus heirlooms and throwbacks, including High Times quality photos and information on each variety's genetic heritage and growing characteristics, plus my personal notes on aroma, flavor, and potency. So this is Danny Danko, author of the official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains, wishing you good times and great ganja.
The official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains is available at hightimes.com and finer bookstores.
It's time for Normal Show Live's Cannabis Science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York in Albany and the author of Understanding Marijuana. Now here's your dose of cannabis science.
All right, it's Wednesday and we joined Dr. Mitch back out there in New York State. How's things out there?
It's all good.
It's all good. Not getting snowed in yet, are you?
No, thank goodness.
Oh, good. Glad to hear it. All right. So we always start the beginning of this segment by talking about the latest studies. And there's a couple that I've mentioned on the news segment here at the beginning. Let's start with the one that kind of helps explain me a little, maybe, is this British study, UK study, that come out and studied these guys since 1970, I guess. And they found that the kids with the higher IQs were twice as likely among boys and three times as likely among girls to have used illegal drugs like marijuana, cocaine, and heroin. And I was wondering what you thought of that story and what it means.
Believe it or not, Russ, this is the third data set to show this now. And I know that a lot of folks say, oh, well, smart kids get bored, and then they end up being more willing to try drugs under those circumstances. In fact, this may be related to some things that are more controversial. Nobody likes to hear it, but in fact, smart kids are more likely to be liberal. They're also more likely to be atheist. We know that conservative attitudes and high religiosity tend to keep people from trying new things, and so that right. may be part of the explanation. Evolutionarily, we need our population, if you will, to try new things in order to solve new problems, whether those things are healthy or not. And it turns out that this may be something that's been selected for literally since the Pleistocene. And thank you, Russ, for taking your part in that role.
I do what I can. I read those explanations, and I thought, well, okay, I remember as a kid, you know, even kicked ahead of grade, even in the advanced placement class and stuff, I remember being bored by school and feeling different. They said that maybe some of these kids take drugs to the escape of being picked on, being the nerd or whatever, and I thought maybe that could have something to do with it. But another part of me thought, maybe it's just, you know, kids do drugs, and the ones that are smart realize smoking pot's a little better for you than drinking.
In all honesty, the links with alcohol are not as strong, and some people say, well, alcohol's been around longer, it's no more evolutionarily novel or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I think you're really onto something there, is that this may be, in a sense, a kind of harm reduction. You notice they don't report drug problems, they only report drug use.
Yeah.
It may be that smart kids also have a buffer against drug problems, so they've got the opportunity to try, and they have the skills and wit, if you will, to keep the negative consequences to a minimum, and that's why they're willing to go on and try more and more.
Yeah, if you're the honor student in suburban Connecticut, you may be less likely to get busted than the kid living on the streets in Philly or something. That could be it.
Exactly.
All right. We've got a call coming. Oh, just missed the call, but 757, please try to call back. I was just looking over and going to catch it when you blinked away. So if you've got questions, you can dial us here at 971-533-7111, or you can send your message in by private message in our chat. We got the 757 area code calling back. What is your question for Dr. Mitch Earlywine?
Well, it has to do with what I've been reading about heart attacks and marijuana. And from a lot of people telling me that everything I keep saying or posting is fabricated.
As it turns out, there is a link, at least among older adults, the first hour or so after using marijuana or anything that would basically increase heart rate does increase risk for some kind of heart problems. So we see these in some studies going back to 2001 or so. And the clincher here is the message: if you want to, you know, engage in harm reduction and still use cannabis, make sure you're using it in a setting where you're not elevating your heart in other ways. Make sure you're taking good care of your heart by exercising regularly, keeping your weight reasonable, making sure your blood pressure is under control and things like that. And then, yeah, that's definitely something that is going to help. But these links so far between heart attack, cannabis use in the first couple of hours, and older adults is definitely there, and it looks like this is something we're going to have to keep in mind as the baby boomers age.
You know, I think something.
Yeah, but
go ahead, caller.
Sorry. See, when I was younger, two of my friends, roughly around the age of 13 and 15, really didn't. You know, they were kind of active, and it was they smoked regularly, and by the time they were 17, they were dead by coronary failure. And also, up to about 2 weeks ago, my 16-year-old niece for the first time tried it, and she ended up in the hospital.
I mean, there may be a heritable cardiac thing going on in that family where anything that elevates heart rate is risk-inducing. So I really do feel like spreading the word among folks who have a strong family history of cardiac problems that anything that increases heart rate has to be dealt with very carefully is completely reasonable, and I do hope you can spread the word among your relatives.
Well, because the thing is, like, my niece who recently, I mean, she's been going on some of these pages and stuff, and people are telling her that it's safe and harmless and all this other stuff, and I've been personally banned by many of these pages because I don't actually believe them because of my opinions and posting what I have found. They're like, you know, thinking that I'm actually nutcase on this. And this is kind of where I think there's a lot of if there's a lot of misinformation, I think it's on both ends, not just one or the other side. But apparently everybody I talk to tends to see that the misinformation is only on my side of it and everybody else is correct.
No, in fact, the data are on your side for older adults. They're not accustomed to seeing this with younger adults, but it's clear that there may be some cardiac difference in your family that's really worth paying attention to. And feel free to email me, and I'll send you relevant links, or we can do what we can to make sure we can convince your niece and other folks in your family that this is not a plant for them.
Yeah, thank you for that call. That's really good stuff, because it also illustrates something that I always counsel drug law reformers, marijuana supporters to be wary of, and that is magical plant syndrome. That like, oh, it's perfect and it's healthy and it's like getting your vitamins and it could never harm anyone and ever and nobody ever dies from it. And well, yeah, there's, you know, it is less harmful than a whole lot of other things you can do, but nothing is risk-free or harmless.
Even water,
aspirin, anything. So yeah, I think he makes a good point in that there are sites, you know, there are places in the marijuana community you'll go and people will say it's safe and harmless. Well, no, it's not safe and harmless. It's safer and less harmful, but nothing safe and harmless. So, okay, let's get to our next question. We've got one coming, I believe, in from Georgia here, asking, does cannabis lower blood pressure?
It turns out cannabis does lower blood pressure pretty consistently, but not for a long enough duration to be used as a medical approach to lowering hypertension. And unfortunately, in some folks, it can even make them more likely to pass out if they stand up too quickly or things like that. So I probably get one email a month asking, can I use cannabis instead of my blood pressure medication? And I can't recommend it in part because the duration of the decrease in blood pressure is just too brief. You'd be baked all the time, and it just really wouldn't be reliable enough to keep cardiac problems to a minimum.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, another thing that I was thinking about was a story that we did in the news today about the teen drug scares. And I know you study a lot of what's going on with younger folks and their use patterns and drug use patterns. And the latest one that's coming out, and I'm seeing this blasted all over this week, is butt chugging and vodka tampons. And I was wondering if you have any data on that, any sort of studies that this is really going on, or is this just another, you know, blown up media hyperbole?
It's cute because it's everybody's cousin's mother's brother's friend's aunt, right? Nobody actually has done it. Pharmacologically, it would be possible. It would be so irritating, so incredibly aversive that I can't imagine anyone would do it a second time.
Yeah.
In all honesty, I think it's more of that phobia of teens. Hey, teens are novel. Teens are weird. I don't understand them. Ooh, you know.
Those crazy kids. Get off my lawn.
Yeah. Yes. When in fact, I really doubt this is something anyone has done twice in their lives. And though it makes sense pharmacologically that it could work, it's certainly not an efficient or enjoyable way to ingest spirits.
Yeah, certainly not. In my own background, I'll cop to this. Back in the day, back in the 90s, at least a couple of the days in the 90s I can still recall, I was in a bar up in McCall, Idaho, a lumberjack type of bar, and setting up the band in the afternoon. And of course, you got your 3 o'clock drunk sitting there, you know, your 3 and 4 o'clock drunk sitting there. And I got to talking to him, and one of them thought it would be a fun idea to snort tequila. Let's do a snort of tequila.
Ooh.
And so being the foolish, long-haired heavy metal bass player I was at the time, I said, yeah, let's try it. And if the mucous membranes of the anus or vagina are anything like snorting tequila up your nose, nobody's going to do this twice. Nobody's ever going to do this twice. You can, I'll testify. It was awful. Oh, boy. Don't do this at home, kids. Do not do this at home. Let's see. We got a question coming in also here wanting to know, are there any benefits associated with cannabis against diabetes?
As it turns out, we're not seeing the kind of buffers we would hope, and given cannabis's notorious impact on appetite, it has actually the potential to be problematic. So folks, after using cannabis, often crave sweets. Sweets can be really counterproductive to the treatment of any kind of hypoglycemic experience. So cannabis as an adjunct to standard diabetic treatment is probably not a great idea.
Okay. And is there any difference between diabetes and what Wilford Brimley has, diabetes? I always figured, because I saw some special the other day where they were talking about one of the problems in discussing diabetes in the population is there the difference between type 1 and type 2, and there needing to be a better delineation that one was different than the other. And I thought, well, call one diabetes and call the other one diabetes, and you got it all taken care of.
That'll be rough in the South. That's all I can say.
I'll see what I can do. Hey, folks, that's about all the time we have here with Dr. Mitch, early one. But if you didn't get your question in, you can call in on our next segment, which will be 3 Wednesdays away, December, what is that, 7th, I think, because we're going on a 2-week vacation for the holidays. Or you can send it in by email to 420research@gmail.com, 420research@gmail.com. And before we go, Dr. Mitch, anything else you want to get across to our listeners as we head off into the Thanksgiving?
I'm a little behind on my email correspondence. I had some surgery last week, but I'm going to answer everybody's email as soon as I can. Didn't want anybody to think I had forgotten them.
All right. Fantastic. Well, Dr. Mitch, have a happy Thanksgiving harvest season, and we will talk to you in December.
Looking forward to it. Bye.
All right. Well, we come back, we're going to have time for a little bit of radical rant. We're going to take a look at legalization in Washington State and tough moral decisions. We're back right after this.
Eyes a kite, everybody.
This drug in front of me is what they call marijuana.
If we had a dime for every dime bag bought in America, marijuana would be legal by now. Donate to Normal at NORML.org and support Normal Show Live.
Hey, this is Subcool, coming to you live from the second annual Medical Cannabis Cup in San Francisco, and I'm on Normal Radio.
Hear the Drug Truth Network's Cultural Baggage and Century of Lies with Dean Becker every Monday at 6 p.m. Pacific with replays at midnight. Also, catch morning replays Thursday at 6 a.m. and weekend replays every Sunday at noon right here on the Normal Network.
Tonight, I appeared on Jeopardy and, well, how do I say this? I lost. Not only did I lose, I lost to this guy. That's right. I lost to Cheech Marin. Cheech of Cheech and Chong fame, pot-smoking star of blunt-burning films like Up and Smoke, Next Smoke, and Still Smoking. He not only beat me, he crushed me.
Guy, as Conan the Barbarian on What's Best in Life, to crush your enemies and to hear the lamentation of their women. Cheech.
Who is Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yes. Cheech again.
Who is Al Pacino?
Right. Cheech.
What is Pillow Talk?
Right. Cheech.
What is Never Never Land?
Yes. Cheech.
What is Camelot?
Yes. Cheech.
What is a baster?
Yes. You're the winner today. Your charity will get $50,000 and Aisha and Anderson's charities $25,000 each.
It's tough talking to kids about marijuana, especially if you might be a parent who dabbled a time or two in your youth. So to help you out, get your copy of Dr. Mitch Earlywine's latest book, A Parent's Guide to Marijuana. Dr. Earlywine is an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and an expert on the studies concerning marijuana, its effect on health and society, and the methodology behind the statistics. He is a frequent guest here on our daily audio stash. Dr. Earlywine lays it all out without the propaganda and scare tactics that parents know won't work with teenagers. He presents a rational understanding of cannabis, what it is and what it isn't, and why kids shouldn't be using marijuana. You can order today through Amazon.com or check our links at our blog, stash.normal.org.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant. Suppose I told you that I could grant you your fondest wish. I could make marijuana legal. I have the power to grant your wish to begin the domino effect of ending marijuana prohibition across the entire United States, and through that, across the entire world. That marijuana prohibition could be ended and people could be growing and eventually growing and eventually buying and selling. At first, we'll start off with just possessing and buying, right? We'll start with baby steps, but we'll end marijuana prohibition, the absolute end of marijuana prohibition, starting with just buying and selling, buying marijuana and using it, possessing maybe an ounce or two, maybe just a little bit. And then eventually we'll move it up. We'll move it up to being able to grow a couple plants, and we'll move it up from there. But I'm talking about legalization of marijuana, absolute legalization of marijuana. But there's a catch. In order for us to absolutely legalize marijuana, your kid needs to go to jail for a DUI. This is the kind of moral conundrum that we are facing up here in the Pacific Northwest with the Initiative 502 that is currently looking to make its way to the ballot in Washington State. For those of you outside the air, let me just give you a brief fill-in on the situation. I-502 is backed by the American Civil Liberties Union of Washington and many prominent, very prominent people in reform, including normal advisory board member Rick Steves, including Representative Roger Goodman, just now the former FBI head of Seattle office endorsed this. Numerous law enforcement people have endorsed it, and it's got a lot of money behind it. Just recently, a $100,000 philanthropic donation, another $200,000 expected coming in from Peter Lewis. So it's got the money, it's got the high-profile support, and it's got the political wherewithal to legitimately have a shot at gathering enough signatures in Washington State to be presented to the legislature and, failing their passage of it, move forward to the people for a vote. So Initiative 502, a real legitimate, maybe the strongest chance of any state in 2012 to get legalization on the ballot. And judging by the electorate in the state of Washington, especially the western side of Washington, a very good chance of passage. These are people that have passed initiatives in Tacoma recently to make marijuana lowest law enforcement priority by a 2-to-1 margin. Passed Initiative 75 to have lowest priority in Seattle with 58%. Passed medical marijuana by a similarly high margin back in 1998. Very progressive area in support of marijuana law reform. So we have an initiative with a real shot of winning. A real shot of toppling that first state domino in ending marijuana prohibition. But again, here's where the devil is in the details. There is a catch with this. I-502 presents in its regulation the 5 nanograms per milliliter per se DUID statute that they just tried to pass in the state of Colorado. Now, in the state of Colorado, activists cried foul because they figured that patients, people using medical marijuana on a consistent basis, would be very likely to be above 5 nanograms per milliliter at any time, impaired or not, and went so far as to have the pot critic from the Denver Westward, who evaluates dispensaries and, you know, he's a medical patient, he's got his card and everything, had him abstain for 16 hours, wake up the next day, and tested at 13 nanograms per milliliter. This led to a working group in Colorado formed by the legislature, comprised of 8 people, 4 kind of on one side, 4 on another, included input from Normal's own Paul Armentano, probably the recognized expert in these DUID sciences and data. And that work group deadlocked and could not come up with a limit and decided that 5 nanograms per milliliter was just too unscientific, too subject to variable to be put into statute as something that convicts someone of a crime that they may not have been committing. So on the heels of this very high profile, at least in the cannabis community, failure to establish a 5 nanogram per milliliter limit, we have in Washington State the initiative proposing the exact same 5 nanogram per milliliter limit. I spoke with Douglas Hyatt, who's a noted opponent of this 502, proposes another initiative, but we'll talk about that on another time, and others who are telling me of clinics and doctors who are testing their patients immediately upon waking up in the morning, and they're waking up at 10 nanograms per milliliter. Worse than the 5 nanograms per milliliter is the fact that below the age of 21, it's 0 nanograms per milliliter. In other words, a zero tolerance. Any amount of cannabis detected in blood will be the equivalent of a DUI for anyone below the age of 21. Now, the legalization in I-502 specifically addresses that it's for 21 and over. So the idea here is if you're below 21, you shouldn't be using marijuana anyway. But the reality is 1 out of 3 people, the age 18 to 20, will use marijuana this year. 1 out of 5 will use marijuana this month. So there will be, upon passage of 502, if it were to pass, there will be young people getting DUIs merely because they are cannabis smokers. Okay? Merely because they are, not because they smoked and got in the car and drove. Remember, it's zero tolerance. They pick up 2 nanograms per milliliter from a smoke session that you did last night and you're waking up the next day to drive. Would count. So, we have a situation here in Washington State, in the Pacific Northwest, and in the reform community in general, where you have one side accusing the other side of wanting to throw patients and young people under the bus and end justifies the means scenarios. And on the other side, we have how can you stand in the way of legalization, as flawed as this is, and we all agree it's flawed. If it's a legitimate chance to topple that first domino, you can't stand in its way. So we're faced with very difficult moral and political decisions at this point. And in my eyes, I see it equating to, do we support something we know to be false, unscientific, and unjust in order to end something that is far more false, unscientific, and unjust? Do we knowingly sacrifice a tiny minority of people who are going to get caught? Because still, in order to do the whole blood test, nanograms per milliliter, they have to have reasonable suspicion of a DUI, right? That still exists. Now, I don't know if smelling marijuana in your car leads to that reasonable suspicion, but okay, let's grant that not everyone's going to get caught. And the few that do get caught, they have to be driving really bad for the probable cause before we test them. And even then, when we test them, we have to get them to the hospital and the doctor and all that, and it's going to take time and their levels are going to go down. But even at that, there is a non-zero chance that somebody, based merely on the fact they're a pot smoker, is going to get a DUI. So is that minority, guaranteed to be oppressed, worth sacrificing to end the oppression of the vast majority? It's one of those Star Trek things, right? Do the needs of the many outweigh the justice for the few? I bring this up because I'm really all over on this one. Every day I wake up and think about this, and I think I've got a new position on it. That no, I cannot, I absolutely cannot support this. And then the next day I'll think, well, no, wait, I absolutely cannot oppose this. It's the toughest place I've ever been in a political scenario that I can imagine. What makes this even tougher is, of course, those of you who've been following the show since 2009, my vitriolic rampages against stoners against legalization. My absolute abhorrence and disrespect that I had for the opponents of Prop 19 in 2010, who made not the same arguments, but analogous arguments. They were opposed to 19 because they thought it would sacrifice patients and cause things to be worse. How do I then stand up and say the same thing? Well, on one hand, I would say, in this case, I'm right, and in that case, they were wrong. There's that. But, you know, it's still not a comfortable place to be in. So this is something we're all going to have to think about as we move forward in this campaign season, because, folks, I believe it's going to get the signatures, and I believe it's going to be on the ballot, and I believe everyone's going to have to make a stand on this. And I believe that the people who've put this together have done the calculus and calculated there's more votes to be gained from nervous soccer moms that like a 5 nanogram per milliliter than lost among potheads who don't like it, or civil libertarians who don't like it, or right-thinking people who don't like it. Well, I'm glad you're here with me to enjoy this trip. We will definitely keep you posted. Folks, we're going to take it into hour two. Thanks for listening to us on the podcast. For all of us here at the Normal Foundation, thanks for joining us. Tune in tomorrow. We'll have Terry Joyce on the show. And on Friday, we got some Steve Bloom. Plus radical rants and more news. And check out our blog at stash.normal.org. I'm Radical Russ for the Normal Foundation. Till next time, take care of each other, tokers.